Welcome to Our Thoughts Tonight. Join us as we chat in a mellow mood about music, philosophy, psychology, and anything else that will come to mind. Enjoy!
Our Thoughts Tonight.
Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Our Thoughts Tonight.
We are here, as always. Zach is here.
Hello.
Ashik is here.
Welcome, everybody.
And I'm your host, Alex Trebek. Kind of a slim panel this evening compared to the last, especially.
Definitely.
Which was the internet episode, if you are listening to this.
Five people on that one.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, we come with you, we come to you with solemn news. Maybe some of you have noticed so far. This, as a warning, this will be our season two finale. We'll be going on break for a few weeks. But everybody, it is my unfortunate duty to say that Sean R. Lyons, our co-host, has passed away. And tonight will be a special episode, season finale episode, in commemoration of him. Our friend, our teacher, and, well, our partner in this journey on this podcast. We will see what we can do for tonight, in honor of him. Before we get into that, though, everybody, in honor of Sean, Crucem Sanctum.
As we mentioned earlier, that tonight's episode will be about our co-host, a tribute to a great man. If you have listened to our past episodes, he is the gentleman that would always read the poetry for us, and Sean was a historian. He knew a lot about classical music. He was a classical guitarist. Played professionally every day in a restaurant, so knew quite a bit about music, and he was not only a friend to us, for me, for a long time, was my boss at one point, but he was a teacher to all of us and many other people. He was a professor, actually, and just a good guy.
Yeah.
A genuine guy.
Genuine guy. Yeah.
So many different aspects. Poet, you know.
Poet.
You know it.
Yeah. I think one thing that was always interesting to me about Sean was how he always seemed to just be in a homeostasis type of state with his mood. I never saw him really angry. I never saw him sad.
Yeah.
But he was just always kind of hanging out, always looking for good conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looking to share
upbeat.
Upbeat.
He was always happy.
Uh-huh.
And always had a smile on his face.
There's
that point, though, like the great conversation, like, yeah, that, if anything defines Sean, I think it's that.
Yeah.
You know, looking for that great conversation.
So, speaking of great conversation, Zach, I think you were the last one of us to see him. He was talking about the podcast.
Yeah, we were talking about the podcast because, well, I don't want to spoil. I guess it doesn't really matter at this point. Can I just say it?
Yeah.
I was supposed to choose the next topic because I've never chosen.
Okay.
I've never chosen the topic for the podcast, and I wanted to choose something that was different.
Blow your hand.
Oh.
Yeah, I just wasn't getting it.
Yeah, I wanted to choose something that was different that we haven't covered before. And I sat here for like 2 hours with Sean, like trying to figure out what I should do. And then I came to the conclusion that I wanted to talk about like space and stuff like that. So we sat here for like 2 hours talking about like cosmos and universes and black holes and stars that are huge and how we think it's bullshit that Pluto's not considered a planet anymore.
Definitely.
And yeah, that's
I left early that night.
Yeah.
And I I felt bad Friday night because I was leaving early because I wanted to sit around and talk, but I had my personal life to deal with. And then I left earlier Friday night or Saturday night because I was kind of stressed from the week. And all weekend I thought like, oh man, I should have sat around. I didn't really get to catch up with you or Sean all week. It seemed like we didn't do the podcast.
No, we didn't do nothing.
We played blackjack two nights before. Fun. So we didn't talk that night. We just played blackjack.
I mean, we did.
Yeah.
But we were having a good time.
Yeah. You know? Yep. Anyway, he wrote some great music. And we're going to play some of that tonight for everyone. But before that, we should all maybe say something about Sean that I don't think we have noticed before. You know, like, what did you notice about him that, you know, you always thought about in the back of your mind, but you didn't say, Zach?
I don't know. I would consider him a father figure and like a brother. And if I needed some kind of, like, advice outside of like you know, like he wasn't a person that I would go to for my problems or something like that, but if I needed some like intellectual advice and I didn't know what I was getting myself into or something like that, like he'd be the guy that I'd go to. And I have gone to him for advice for certain things. Got her out of my realm. And anything regarding school. So
yeah, there was a lot of academic
genuine dude. Like, I don't think that guy would hurt a fly at all. No. Like, or anything or any living being. He was very down to earth.
He was a vegetarian, for God's sake.
Vegetarian. I think that I want to hear your perspective first.
The on the surface, you know, perspective of Sean is always that quiet, smart, you know, guy that knows everything pretty much. Like, he was a great guy, you know, like in terms of being nice. But I think, like, I just think of like various little moments where he would show that compassion, like in a very discreet way, but it was like in a very effective way. Like, there were like, you know, I mean, I'll go like later in the night with the stories, but like, you know, he would come by for me, you know, in like, you know, in weird nights, right? And it's like, it was very nice of him. You know, he would stay with me and listen to my problems, you know.
Whether he wanted to or not.
Yeah, like, you know, I'll get into the details later, but he was a very nice man. You know, he, not just nice in this general sense that other people like consider someone nice, but he was genuinely nice. You know, he cared about people, like, personally.
There's no alternative motive.
Definitely not, no. And you mentioned that he was like a father figure to you. When I first got to start, you know, got to like talk with Sean, right? Immediately I was like, he's like my grandfather figure, right, to me. And it was like, you know, wow, here's a guy that knows like history, you know, here's a guy that knows this stuff. And that's like what I'm going for.
Yeah, you love history.
Off the cuff.
Too. It's like,
that's,
you know,
the thing. Like, every time and on every podcast that he was talking and reciting history, he was not, and by the way, this guy didn't own a phone.
Yeah, okay? I know.
He didn't own a phone. He didn't believe in it. Okay, but he was reciting history from his, like, from his head, from his brain.
Yeah.
and knew it right off the bat. And I'd be sitting diagonal from him. And I'd be fact checking things that he's saying, and he was right.
Well, like, it's his life. You know,
he was right. Like 90, but that's like, commendable.
I mean,
it's something. He was a person that I looked up to. I was like, damn, when I'm his age, I hope I'm half as smart as this guy. You know?
I mean, not just in terms of knowledge, but his experiences, all the stories and stuff, like
and all the places he's,
he's been to. Exactly, you know, and
experiences.
Like, I think he'd been to Pakistan, India,
in Nepal,
Tibet.
I remember, like, the weird thing about knowledge for him is like, so when I would like, you know, back and forth either on the podcast or like on the off the podcast, like you know, playing pinball with history or whatever, like because of his life experience, it's not only that he knows that knowledge, but he like lives a lot of that stuff, Like, for you know, ways I just mentioned, like he went to Afghanistan, he went to Nepal, like he lives this stuff. You know what I mean? And this is a fun little fact. I remember one time when he told me he went to Nepal, the night he told me, like the day or two before, I was watching some documentary about like some weird place in Nepal. It's like, you know, Buddhist, whatever, and it was placed on Mustang, And I was like, Sean, did you go to Mustang? And he's like, no, but I was right next to it. Like, the guy is going straight into like what I'm researching, basically. You know, he's been there. It's crazy.
What about you, Murat?
I think one thing that sticks out to me is that, I mean, a lot of people, you look at a lot of people in this day and age, and they can barely attribute a handful of things to themselves in terms of accomplishments or creation or accolades. And this guy was like a real life polymath, you know, like Da Vinci. And I always thought of myself as somebody who almost, I don't want to call myself that because I don't want to be, I don't want to seem self-absorbed, but I dabble in so many different things that I always wondered like if I'm wrong for doing that. And you know, that kind of pejorative expression, jack of all trades, master of none. I don't believe that to be true because that makes it so it's like a zero sum fallacy. And that's not true. I think you can be a master at many things. And
most greats are.
And Sean is an example of that in the modern day, in my opinion. And to hear him talk about how he gets bored of things and starts working on something else proved to me that I am on that same road, because that's what made me doubt myself, is that like I get bored sometimes and I don't paint for a few years. But I eventually go back to painting.
And you're just as good as you were.
Exactly. It's just
like you hadn't even stopped.
And academics too. Like I feel the same way. One time, a few weeks ago, he told me like, I like studying in school because it kept me honest. You know, it made me stick to one thing. And I think he did, and he enjoyed. He would always say, you know, if people would pay me to go to school, I would. You know, or if someone would pay for my school, I would go. But I think just like we said, all around fucking great guy, man. Like a legend. And I mean, he's written 3 or 4 books. He has records, albums he recorded that people, nobody had heard these albums until I asked him to hear them. I put them on Spotify for him, and then all his reading, all his poetry, which we'll be reading some of tonight. And that's just a handful of it. I mean, he probably did so many things that he forgot about, realistically. And I can't believe...
I'm still in shock.
I can't believe I didn't even, like...
Anyone listening, we literally just found out. Like an hour. We're doing this in honor for him. He's the one that wanted to do the podcast.
He wanted to do the podcast. And I think that was the last conversation I had with him. He was like, so we're doing the podcast Wednesday? I was like, I'll talk to the Shook.
Man, I remember when you mentioned space to me last night. I was like, you know, we've never really thought about space, obviously, right? And I was like, I wonder what Sean's take on all this going to be. You know what I mean? Like,
that's what we talked about for 2 hours.
Man.
And it was crazy for me because... Usually when, like, I talk to Sean a lot, Like, I've known the guy for quite some time. Not as long as Murat.
Yeah.
Probably just as long as you've known him. If a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But last night, it was like one-on-one. Or not last night, sorry. I'm mistaken.
Saturday, I think.
Saturday. The last time that I saw him. It was the longest time I had talked to him, like, in a sitting without, like, Ashok being here or Murat being here or
just one-on-one.
Nick being here. You know, it was just me and him talking at the bar for, like, 2 hours straight. And it was super memorable. And I was thinking to myself, like, the next day on Sunday, I was like, I can't wait to talk to him again, like, after hours on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But
I remember the compassionate thing I was talking about earlier. A few years ago, I had a night like that with Sean, right? It was just me and him. And typical, you know, old Ishik, I was drunk as hell, you know? And I'm talking to this guy, right? You know? And I started talking about all these like crazy things and stuff. I think it was last year. And then it's just like, you know, oh, I regret this night, you know, all this. Oh, I'm in my problems, whatever. Yeah. And then he's listening. And later I'm like, hey man, I'm gonna get some food. You know, I need to sober up and go home. Right.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know what it was, but like basically towards the end of the night, I was basically trying to be like kind of nice to Sean, be like, hey man, like you can go, I'm good. And he's like, no, I'm going to stay here and like, make sure you're okay. And it was nice. And I remember that same night I had like, I basically thought out some philosophical question, right? And I'm like, you know, I was like, Sean, look, I was in a weird thing last night. I was stuck on this philosophical question for like hours and I couldn't find anything out. Like, can you give me some help, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, I went through on blah, 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 you know, asked the question. And he's like, free will. It's like, and it was like, I was like, yeah, man, that was pretty much the only thing I could come up with.
It's also one of the things that we all noticed but never said out loud is when, see, he's the type of guy that you could be spouting nonsense or something that he doesn't agree with, and he knows, like, you know, he has an answer to whatever you're asking or preaching or trying to, like, be factual, but it's not really on point. You'll pan your head over to the left and look at him, and he just be looking like straight at you, whoever's talking, and he just have that smirk on his face, like a big old smile.
Oh my God.
And he would wait for you. He wouldn't interrupt you.
He would
wait. That motherfucker had some patience. Yeah. He'd wait, and then he would interject, and then he'd say something, you know?
He'd always say like the same thing when he's interjects, and when he disagrees, he'd be like, you know, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's either that or some other thing similar to that, you know?
Yeah.
God. So for all of those that are listening, that I'm assuming most of you that didn't know Sean, I have one of his books in my hand, and his series of books is called Walkabout Guide to Alaska. It's a hiking guide for all the trails in Alaska. I mean, this guy is, I don't know much about professional hiking, or I don't even know if it's professional, but hiking at least in Alaska. But I can tell you, this guy's probably top five greatest hikers.
I mean, he designs the trails.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. You know what I mean? And he does all of this by memory.
Yeah.
He never wrote it down. So I want to read, I don't want to read from the book, but there's a bio about him in the back. And I just to familiarize everybody with who he is. Sean Lyons lives... sorry, I'm having trouble seeing this. Here we go. Sean Lyons lives a life of many parts. It's funny, isn't that what I just said?
Yeah.
As a professional classical guitarist, he plays dinner music every Thursday through Saturday at Villanova Restaurant in Anchorage. This is a little dated, I see. When not playing guitar at Villanova, Sean gives private guitar lessons at the University of Alaska in Anchorage. There, he also teaches music appreciation, English composition, and literature. Most know him, however, as an avid hiker and hill scrambler. So much so that after many long hikes through many valley and over many a summit, many consider him the hiking guru of South Central Alaska. In addition, as an ultra athlete, he has won the Wilderness Snowshoe Race times.
Wow.
And the 100-mile Coldfoot Classic, held each year on Halloween above the Arctic Circle three times. Three times he won that.
Dang.
For many years, Sean's narratives about his hikes and races often appeared in a weekly hiking climbing column that he writes for the Anchorage Daily News. And you can read those articles as well on over the years that he wrote.
I mean, he's written so much. Yeah.
The guy's been around the block.
His website, though, I think it has some of the stuff. I think it's called Sean Lyons Books or something like that. SeanRLyonsBooks.com.
Yeah. That's
you can find this there, yeah.
Like one of a kind.
Yeah.
I don't think that. I don't know. I've met a lot of people, and maybe it's just because I spend most of my time in Alaska, but they don't. People like that, and I know this is such a cliche thing, but there are not many people like that in the world.
Very versatile.
Very, very few that intelligent and active and
not just sticking to one
prolific.
Thing.
Yeah.
I mean, his whole archetype is like just that wise man, you know? Just, you know, God.
He's like our Gandalf.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like whoever the dumbest one is in Lord of the Rings.
Gimli?
Yeah, I'm Gimli. I'm like a brute.
Oh, come on.
I don't have a beard, though. I can't grow one.
God. The last week when I was... Or when we were playing blackjack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was great.
What was it? Something happened.
Are you talking about when he pulled all those aces?
What's that?
Are you talking about when he pulled all those aces?
Oh,
he got
21? Yeah, I think... Yeah, that was funny.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
He pulled like 7 aces in a row.
Oh, my
and then,
God.
Like, yeah, and then the last card he gets is like... I don't remember what it was.
Like 7 cards for sure.
Yeah.
Like a different set, but there was like 3 or 4 aces. And that was ridiculous.
And the last card he pulled, he's like, oh, I'm 21.
The strange thing was, like, after... So my tags were expired for a year, and I didn't want to drive home. Because the next day, I had a DMV appointment. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I know, I'm going to drive home tonight and get pulled over. Because I didn't get pulled over all year.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can drive you home if you want. So he drove me home, and then I... he's like, yeah, say hi to Bailey, and I went inside. And the next day I got home, I got to work, and he, at the end of the night, was like, so did you get your car? Did you get your tags fixed? I was like, yeah, I did. I was like, thanks for giving me a ride. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, I had that gut feeling, you know, that I knew if I drove last night, I would have gotten pulled over. But maybe that's just me being, you know. That's a fallacy, you know. That's just me being paranoid. And he's like, no, that's what would have happened. He's like, you would have gotten pulled over.
See, that's one thing I connected with him too, was that it's like gut feelings. Mm-hmm. He was like, always trust them.
Oh yeah.
Don't ever disregard them.
Yeah.
You know.
You remember a few weeks ago when you were trying to give that guy a ride?
Yeah.
And he was like, don't do it.
No, no. You remember what he said? He's like, do you have any weapons? I'm like, no. And he's like, you want a hammer? And then you're like, you're like, do you want to borrow my gun? I was like, maybe I just won't give him a ride and I'll just listen to you guys because you both are pretty intellectual dudes and I'm just like trying to be nice because the guy's crying and I felt bad because, you know, Sean's like, I'm nice too, but why doesn't he call a cab if he's trying to give you $20?
Yeah, the guy's nice, but he doesn't lack common sense.
And he's like, that doesn't seem logical. And I'm like... Yeah, you're kind of right. Something's up.
Wait, when was this? I don't know.
It was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. And then Sean cracked me up. He's like, you want a hammer? And I was like, what? What am I, Mario? Oh, no, dude. I don't want to. I'm just going to not do it.
So we're going to read a poem, and then we'll go to one of Sean's pieces. I think I'm going to play first the Fantasy in E Minor composed by Sean.
Yeah.
From his 1983 record, I believe, called Tradition in Transit. It's a classical guitar album.
Yeah.
We got it on vinyl.
Yeah.
Vinyl.
So do you want to read or do you want me to read?
I think we should do 3 poems. I think each of us should read one of his poems.
Okay.
You go first to ship.
So he has, you know, I was thinking maybe his most recent poem, then the one before that, and I think a personal favorite of his Pan, which I think should go for you.
Yeah, you've known him the longest.
that.
Yeah, let's do this. I'll read the most recent one. You'll read If, and then you'll read Pan.
Sure.
All right, so this is what he wrote. The last thing he wrote for allpoetry.com, and if anybody, you know, if anyone's interested, go to allpoetry.com, look up Sean R. Lyons, you know. All right, it's called Mistaking Want for Need. The tallest spruce can grow from tiniest seed, bathed and high by gold from the birthing sun. It thrives without mistaking want for need. Needing a height far greater than a spindly reed, its instincts struggle upward and prove when done. The tallest spruce can grow from tiniest seed, not fated to squat in patches of tangled weed, but evolve to all lowly shadows shun, and thrive without mistaking want for need. Not needing to perform any noteworthy deed, needing all needs but that of living to shun, the tallest spruce can grow from tiniest seed. Thus, follow the most common of nature's creed, and only fulfilling all its seed had begun. The tallest spruce can grow from tiniest seed. It thrives without mistaking want for need.
We are back.
Hello, everybody.
That was Fantasy in E Minor by Sean Lyons. And what was the name of the poem?
It's Mistaking Want for Need, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. That was a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, I read that one recently. It's weird that it says, did it say he posted that 2 days ago?
I believe so, yeah, 2 days ago.
He must have revised it. Because that's been up for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, yeah. Actually, yeah, it says on my thing, it says a month ago, actually. Either way, he said updated. Either way, that's his last one.
Yeah.
There's actually 5 comments. I want to, all good things, basically.
The alliteration is amazing.
Yeah.
Poetry you want.
You get emphasis and passion and like the actual articulation of how the poem should be read.
He took his time.
We would tease a little bit, like, man, that's crazy. You know,
you would enunciate words.
Yeah.
And I feel like it should have been 4 words by now. And he's like, art.
Yeah.
Thou.
Yeah.
Feeling great.
It's hard.
Today. And I'm like, man, what? I was like, come on, man. But I couldn't help but to like smile or laugh. And sometimes I was in a mood or like, I'm not laughing at him. Mm. I'm laughing with him.
Yeah.
But like sometimes it was serious.
I'm having some issues here. Check, check, check. Okay. As Sean would say, I'm going to date myself with this story. When we were working at Villanova, when I was working at Villanova and he owned Villanova, and when he was just guitarist there, every night he would come in, just like he came in here, you know, every night. He'd come in, you know, walk into the kitchen from the back door, grab a mug, go straight for the brandy underneath the bar, but where the where the ovens and the chefs are. So under the hood. No, it was the one that Johnny would cook, like, you know how they pour? Yeah, exactly. For sauteing. So he would just grab it, pour it, and then say hi to Johnny. Go up to the server station, pour some coffee. He didn't care if the coffee was cold or whatever. Just mix it. Go sit down and start playing, drink brandy and coffee.
He always prefers mugs, it seems like.
Yeah, mugs, so people couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Smart.
I mean, even like when we're, even like when he's like sits with us, you know?
Yeah.
It's always, why in the mug? Yeah. It's always that mug.
Up until recently, though, I mean, he didn't drink while he was playing. I mean, this was like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
That always was like super funny to me. And then Bailey and I spent Christmas with him this year and watched It's a Wonderful Life. I thought that was interesting. That was such a fun night.
I don't know that I want this on microphone, but I think it's strange that he used past tense a mug. Like, it's so
used. I get what you're saying.
You know? Yeah. Everything, putting it in past tense is so unnatural seeming to me still.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Past tense. I've just been
using, or uses.
Yeah. I don't think it's hit still. Like, it hit kind of like a little bit after, but yeah.
Yeah. It's unbelievable that the way that happens.
I just want to mention quickly, cause I'm kind of talking with my sister a little bit. As a quick, caveat, my sister obviously, took music at our university.
Yeah.
I don't think she took any classes with Sean, or maybe one or two or something, but I don't know. It was just like Sean was like in our lives in a very weird way, right? Like, he knew my sister, right? They would see each other every once in a while. You know, she now like runs a little music teacher shop, and it's like, he knew you through Villanova and, now, and then I don't know, just the guys. And then the thing is, all the people he knew himself, he was such like, he was so integrated within the city. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't think this is just a personal loss. I think this is a much larger.
I think he was one of the few people in this city that was of his age group and not like a scummy Republican.
Mind just you, the guy's like retired. Or he was retired. He didn't have to come out. He didn't have to come play music. He didn't have to come be in our podcast.
Oh, he was doing so much for his age.
He literally went out of his way just to hang out and have conversations with us, and that speaks volumes.
I think that's why he was here for that.
I think that's actually a big honor to have him.
It is,
You know, God.
One of the few ultimately respectable people.
I find it funny that like one of our best episodes, that morality episode, was the first episode he was on. I remember when after we finished the episode, we're like, holy crap, that was the best episode we've ever done.
Yeah.
What a coincidence that Sean was there on that episode.
Like, how did we do that? Was there multiple microphones or...
No, I think we had two microphones. Shared.
That's right.
I think me and Marat shared, and you and Sean.
I think so. Yeah,
I think that's how it went. Yeah, and you shared it.
Yeah, somewhere.
You're right.
I don't fucking know, but we shared two microphones. That's how it went.
So, I don't think we'll do two full hours for this, because it's. I mean, it hasn't even settled in.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, but I say we should read another poem.
Yeah. Poem, song,
another piece, and then we'll say our final thoughts tonight,
and then a poem and song. I think Zach, you're up. I mean, you can choose something else if you want to. I just thought "If" was a good one.
"If" by Sean. If you could pause below the looming cliffs fronting north on Eucla Peak and heed, hearing the fast river behind foaming over rock and rumbling down rapids, and feeling the gray shadows below swirling about the feet and pushing against the day. You too would seize that moment and bend the eyes to gaze straight upward, up the sheer wall of craggy, cracking rocks, and past the overhanging ledges and spurs, and see the skyscraping summit move beneath the pink, storming light of late afternoon. I watched the light wash away, the sky's blue and the sun's warmth, and herald the trailing gray, darker clouds. Pondering, pressing close behind the pink and filling the sky, drop to drape the land and billow over slanting slabs and cracks and drift down icy flutes and gullies. And caught between sheer cliffs and closing clouds, feel the claustrophobic storm subsume the portals of sense to survival's needs. Already ducking the rainfall before it falls, already shivering in the wind before it blows, already flattening against the wall as the water streams over the summit and falls in ribbons until wind-beaten into mist, the rain no longer rain, but unrolling damp sheets of rippling fog, tattered tappers, unraveling slowly until dissolved to nothing against the red and orange twilight sky, like a muted poem, a trailing line slowly to silence by wandering thoughts, the next word lingering, waiting somewhere along the path ahead, but muted by webs of drifting fog and obscured in a tangle of interlocking limbs and clumps of leaves, whose shadows gather under the darkening sky, leaving the trail untraveled, the word abandoned, the seeking seized by the seeming storm, a storm on the verge, but ever unrealized, dissolving all purpose in a daze of wonder.
So any stories you guys have that we should share? Maybe a lighter mood?
Yeah. When me, you, and Sean went to my dad's shop and played music.
That was cool.
Strange dynamic, because the guy's a classical guitar player, but he never really played with a lot of people. And the first people he did play with, I am grateful that I'm one of the first drummers that he ever played with in his life. And probably the only one. I don't know.
He bucket listed that one.
Yeah, he bucket listed that one. And he played music with me and you for like 2 or 3 hours, and it was great. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah, played a lot of songs.
Yeah, because me and you have played music together for a long time, but it was nice to have like a different take or a different approach on it, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
It was super memorable. It's probably one of the... That's when I feel like I saw him, like, not in like... I call it restaurant mode, but that's like just how he is when he's here. But I feel like after that day, he really opened up. Because the next day he came to me and he was like, that was really fun, man. We have to do this again. You know? And I wish we would have.
Yeah. I was thinking about that too recently.
Because it was fun.
We just kind of stopped jamming a little bit because my school and stuff. Yeah.
All of us.
But I was anticipating that we would again in the summer, definitely.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah.
But.
Good man.
He was a good man, and I definitely looked up to him, and I love him and I miss him. God. And it seems surreal and not true. I was just telling the boys, I was like, I just want him to pull up in his car and be like, gotcha, bitch. As a prank. That's what I want. Yeah. Like, then he would be a bigger joker than me. Like, that's
that would be a damn good one.
Just, oh, God.
Man, I would make him
more legendary.
Do you remember? I kept thinking about this the other night. Do you remember when we were playing blackjack here? Like, not at your place, but the day after when we were playing here.
Yeah.
And then that Dean Martin song came on, and he was like, or you were like, how lucky could one guy be? And he fucking busted out laughing.
Yeah. He's like, you motherfucker.
And then he turns around, I'm cracking up, and then he turns around to Zach, and he's like, there is a God.
Oh, my God.
Because it was so coincidental, because Zach had just won the hand, like, by pure luck.
Yeah, it was all luck. It was nothing strategic.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then the other time, during the podcast, but like I think it was in between a break, and you and him were talking about, or you were talking about Schopenhauer.
Oh yeah. Oh,
and he's like, look out, guys, he's about to go Schopenhauer, duck.
God.
He got two really big laughs out of me that time.
He was so good at creating like small traditions that are really lovable in retrospect, which I'm realizing it now it is, I guess. Because like he would say the Schopenhauer as like what, like a verb, and then he would also give Tofu, our puppy, whatever he was drinking, a little bit of it in the cap of whatever he was drinking.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And he like enabled puppy alcoholism in the cutest way ever. And then also he would always talk about how he'd go out to those cabins in the yurts, and he's like, when I go out there, I drink a little bit extra wine and stuff. And then also just the way that he would always have his, like, evening drink in a mug every single night ever.
Yeah. Same mug, Loki and the Mafia.
Yeah, I think right before you showed up, we had a segment on how he used to do that.
Yeah.
It was legendary. All the little things, yeah. Yeah, master of really of tradition, yeah.
It's just his presence in general. I was saying it before the podcast. I just want to mention again. It's like we have an episode on him right now, but it's like it would always be helpful if he was here right now. Just helping us out with his memory, you know.
No one fucking knows him better than himself, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Because you're always what was it that you always say? You're like, let's ask Sean about this.
Yeah,
but I would love for you and him to have a debate about himself.
Yeah,
I mean, like that's the whole thing. I've been saying it throughout the whole night, but it's like just a lot unfinished, basically. Like the stories he said. Like, dude, there was like so much more, so much left to do, so much more to say.
Might find out more along the road.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy, man. You know, I think like the greatest memories are always like his conversations and what he has to say, you know.
He always has meaning.
He never wasted a word, you know. He never wasted a word. I remember I was at Murat's like after party of the wedding or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned this to Murat earlier, but like basically I felt kind of like, you know, I was kind of isolated at one point, and like, man, it was just Sean. We just sat, you know, after a while he gave me some company. And it was much needed company, and we just talked about like Pakistan, India for like half an hour, and it was like, "Thank you, Sean. I needed that."
That's probably like one of the coolest parties too.
Yeah,
I didn't get to go because I had to work afterwards. So cool. Like I was at the wedding and stuff, but like the group of people outside smoking a cigarette outside your guys.
Oh yeah, party, I was there.
I was
yeah.
like, man, this is sick. I was yeah. like, we got a Shook, we got Evan, we got Tori over here. Yeah. Zach Potter's next to him. Cody's
that's
there.
A lot of fun.
Yeah,
Potter,
yeah, yeah.
I was like, there's like way too much personality in this circle. Like yeah. we're like the table that you can't sit with us. Table.
And then there's a chick sitting in the corner with Sean talking about what was it?
Yeah.
Pakistan.
Yeah, I think I went to the cigarette thing like after yeah. that. It's like yeah. yeah. It and then crazy, Bailey, I think though. Your father, like, I remember, yeah, once you guys started doing speeches and your dad was talking and everything. Oh, and it would be, yeah. yeah, it was everything, man. And like,
Nick's wife's phone.
Oh my gosh.
And
my God.
Palin, I nudged Greg. I was like, watch, you hear that phone? I was like, if anyone's going to take care of it, it's going to be Palin. Yeah. Watch.
For
less
those,
than 5 seconds.
I remember looking at Sean, dude, after that when it was happening. I was like, yeah. Me and Sean were like, fuck no.
What these guys are talking about is during my wedding, yeah. my dad's wife's phone went off while
Bailey's dad.
Or my wife. Was it my dad's wife's cell phone went off
while
my wife's dad, my father-in-law, was giving his speech.
Yeah. And granted, I'm my dad's only daughter, and he wasn't at my wedding, so this was pretty emotional for him.
Yeah. It was funny. And yeah, Sean and Ashok apparently were giving each other a funny look.
It was red. It was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Sean was probably like, I don't own a phone. It's not me.
What is that?
I'm out of this. You know,
dude,
like
as someone who consistently talks about Kaczynski, you know, shame on me for not following in Sean's footsteps and not having a phone, dude.
Yeah.
He lived by what he said, you know?
He did.
That's true.
He
but
really
I
did.
I wish he did have a phone.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
yeah, he scared the shit out of me. But I want to, before we say anything more, I want to give my condolences to his family.
Yeah.
I mean, we were his family here, but he did have brothers and sisters. And I know his parents are gone, but he loved them dearly.
We talked about them
all the time.
Seriously.
All the time. With so much respect. Mm-hmm. And I hope I can show that much respect to people around me.
Yeah.
God. What a great guy.
Final thoughts this evening?
Be sure to read a poem.
Yeah.
We're
saving a special one to him. Murat's going to read it. It's if you guys know, if you guys have been watching the podcast or listening, Sean mentions Pan a lot, and Pan is...
Peter Pan?
Peter Pan is based off Pan.
I didn't know this.
Basically a nature god, a free will kind of god, a young spirit, which I think Sean definitely embodies, you know?
Yeah.
Always embodied. But, you know, we'll get to that, you know.
And definitely, man. The guy was like 66?
Yeah, no,
he was 66 and he was like hiking and running and cardio and playing guitar every night for 2 hours. Yeah. And like, you don't find a lot of 66.
Yeah, I remember when I was walking on the trail near my parents' house like months ago, and I was just walking to listen to music and stuff, and I saw this guy, Sean, just like biking his way, and he's like, hello. I'm like, what the hell? And I'm like, oh, dude, slow down. He's like, I'm going. It's like,
I'm not at the restaurant.
Slow down. I'm trying to talk to you, man. I was so confused.
Trying to talk about Pakistan.
You're like, what about Schopenhauer? Hold on. You're like a Muppet. He's like Kermit.
I'm trying to get out of here. It's like,
come back, Sean. I got somewhere to be, man.
God.
So any final thoughts?
God bless this guy. Yeah. I'm really glad and I'm fortunate that I met him and had conversations with him, learned a little bit from him. Not too much, but enough. You know?
A lot.
Too
much to keep old.
The guy was
Much more to learn.
Yeah, there was way much more to learn. Way and more. I'll probably learn more about him even after he's gone.
Yeah.
But he was, like I said earlier, he's like a father figure to me. Mm-hmm. And one of the most intellectual human beings I've ever met in my whole entire life. And I love him. I probably never told him that I loved him, but I do love him. And I miss him. And I'm still in shock.
Yeah.
RIP. Love you, John.
Yeah. as someone who was kind of like his debate guy in the podcast, who would get on a, you know, we would quibble about various topics. I'm not going to forget the first, like, you know, I before I started really talking to Sean, like, I would see him and stuff, but I would never really talk to him. But, like, the day I really got to talk to him, I was pissed drunk, of course. And I just remember that night, we were talking about history and stuff, and I, in my head, I was like, I really hope I'm holding my ground right now, because I'm about to puke. And
I think I remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
You're wearing your leather jacket, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I was. But basically, you know, as someone, you know, from then to now, and considering, you know, all the talks I've had with him and all the agreements and disagreements and everything, it's just like, I just hope, you know, I hope he's proud of all of us. You know, I just hope it's such an honor. It's such an honor that to even have known him, to not only to just know him, but
know him well,
but also that he was passionately interested in all of us and in our lives and in what we do in and to be in his podcast in general.
Yeah.
You know,
in all in different ways. Like he liked all of us and was interested in all of us in our own unique ways.
Mm-hmm.
We are all so diverse from each other, man. Yeah. Like we all have commonalities. Like we all have a lot of stuff in common, but he was invested.
Yeah, definitely. He's, I don't know, man. I still don't kind of believe it, and I desperately want him to be right now, here right now.
Yeah, me too.
Just really want him to be here right now.
What do you think, Sean?
I know, seriously. I'm low-key angry right now that he's not here. I'm like, man. Dude, you're late to the podcast again. Come on.
I want to remind you, Ashik, that for like a year, we thought about asking him to join the podcast.
I wish we asked him earlier.
And we didn't think he would want to, but then one night I just set it up and we were like, fuck it, we're doing this.
Well, the first thing the day he was supposed to be here, we were doing the Schopenhauer and Hegel episode and there was an audio problem and he left early. And what a shame, we could have gotten one more episode out of him, you know what I mean? Yeah. But but then we had the whole morale of the episode. It was great. It's just, I wish, I don't know.
Something funny. Can I make a joke?
Sure.
You know how you're like, oh, come on, Sean, you're late. I wish you were here. Now you finally know what it's like to be Sean waiting for you to show up.
Oh, my God. Hey, man, I was late like three times.
I know. All right.
Well, we got to get you.
Yeah.
Your final word, man.
So my final word, man, I don't think I have processed it enough to give like a full picture, but I don't know, man. I've known Sean my whole life, so it's like, it's kind of strange to be honest with you. And I really wish I could have read him that article I wrote last night, the one I turned to the Wall Street Journal. Because I was thinking about him when I was writing it the entire time.
Yeah. I said it aloud last night. He was like, this article is so influenced by all Sean has taught me about writing. We had no idea at that point.
Yeah, yeah. So, final thoughts. He was a good man. He loved Mozart. Loved a good glass of wine and a damn good conversation, and I hope I could. I hope I provided some damn good conversation and friendship, because he was a good man and he deserved it.
I think you did. Coming to you as a friend, you are always good conversation, brother.
I think I'm going to read. What was it? Pan.
Pam.
What was that?
I just wanted to mention that you mentioned Mozart, and I think it's important to mention that. Since we're going into his poems, he always talks about William Blake, right?
Yeah,
As I think it was his favorite poet.
Right, right.
Yeah. Pan. You know, I don't think it's by him, but
no. William Blake. William Blake and John Keats, I believe, and William Butler Yeats were Sean's favorite poets, if I'm not mistaken. And let's see. Yeah, Pan was Sean's dad's favorite poem, according to Sean. So I know he really liked this poem, and he really cared about his dad. So I think I'm going to read this. All right. I think this is the whole thing, right? Yeah, oh, okay.
I believe so. It's a little bit longer.
I'm terrible at reading out loud, but yeah. I'm trying not to fuck this one up.
Yeah. Man, all hail Pan.
All right, Pan. He spreads no panic now, slouched by the roadside. His pipes dropped in weary gloom beside him. Its wind shafts cracked and reeds shredded, picked at matted and tangled hair. His ears flickering with fleas, his hooves dusty with dung, his horns circled by bravely buzzing flies, his haunches raw and itchy with scabby mange. The god noticing nothing, his pastures plowed, his flocks long since fled, his forests felled, his steams all dammed and made rancid, and him, once the lord of all wanting, only out, throwing out a hoof, begging someone to stop, pleading with all, unheeded by all, as progress continued progressing. The travelers, turning only a curious glance, one child crying at the ungodly sight, the sight soon out of sight and forgotten, of a god still living. Not dead, as reported, the ancient sailor hearing the report wrong, the wind distorting the cry from the leafy shore. But if not then, then now slowly dying, the immortal, once mirthful spirit decaying. By nightfall gone, the eyesore to travelers departed, having limped away to nearby barren mountains, away to some webbed and watery cave amongst the places once feared by some, places that were once served as heavens for others, but now a place serving no purpose, but only to hide the hairy god for now, until the report of time proves right, and progress passes in headlong hurry into oblivion, and the sun and seasons cycle again, promising Pan's return, rejuvenating all in joy to noising flute and tabor, and jangling tambourine, obliging all the woods to dance and rocks rejoice in song in the now of time, defying mythic power, the visions created in every beat of blood, if only knows where to look, and one now knows how to see.